Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, June 5th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Maidstone mum who's put in a complaint with the NHS after having to wait 12 hours to find out what happened to her daughter after surgery. And we'll also have the details on the parts of the county where students can't get grammar places despite passing the Kent test. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Sittingbourne woman says it should be easier to cancel sports memberships after she ended up being contacted by debt collectors. Emma Diamond decided to leave after having a baby and filled in a form on the Swallows Leisure Centre website. The 33-year-old then stopped her direct debit but was contacted by management, who said they had no record of the cancellation.
I was searching through their website. It was quite difficult to actually even find where you needed to cancel it. So after going through the website, I found that you couldn't get a direct email address. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to use this web form that they provide you with. So I used that. All that appeared after I submitted it, it came up with on the screen, it said something along the lines of, it's been submitted successfully, your message has been received, we'll be in touch shortly. So I took a screenshot of that at the time. So I was like, I've got something that shows I've contacted you, I've cancelled, but I didn't get an email or anything like that. I then let the direct debit take at the end of the month as I would do normally, So it took on the 1st of February as it would do normally. And then it was due next to go out on the 1st of March, which is when I then cancelled it in advance. And then shortly after that, they contacted me by email to say you haven't paid by direct debit, this is how much that you owe us. So I responded and said, oh, actually, I've cancelled. Here's a screenshot. I cancelled at the end of January. And then their response was, oh, we haven't actually received it. And I said, oh, here's the screenshot showing that it's gone through. And then the response I got was something along the lines of, this doesn't show that you cancelled. It's basically implying that it shows that I've contacted them, but doesn't show that I've cancelled them. So I said, there's no other reason for me to contact you. The message was to cancel my membership. It wasn't for any other reason. I said, you know, I've sent you the screenshot. There's no other evidence I can give you other than to tell you that this is what I've done. I've not been using swimming. I've cancelled. Here's the screenshot. And then I asked that they could. So it was a company called Membership and More who act on behalf of Swallows. So I said, look, it's your system. I can't prove that you've received it. I can only prove that I've sent it to you and this is what your website's told me. And then I said, look, you need to take it up with Swallows, because they said it wasn't something, so it was Membership and More, sorry, on behalf of Swallows. They said they haven't got access to that information, but they're checking with Swallows, which they did. And Swallows have confirmed that they haven't received anything from me. And my response is, look, I'm not really sure what's gone on here, but you can see clearly that I've contacted you. I've confirmed that this is what I've contacted you about. I'm not sure what else I can give you here. I've used your system. And they said that if I wanted to make a complaint, I needed to make a complaint directly to Swallows, which I said, yeah, that's what I'd like to do. And they said that I needed to go and use the web form again. So I said, is there a direct email address? I don't want to use the web form because this is what the root of the issue is. Your web form, for whatever reason, hasn't actually got what I've sent to you. And then they said that it needed to be by the web form again, which I did. I want to say 6th of May, I contacted them again and still haven't had a response. And then I think within a few days after that, I then received an email from a debt collection agency saying this is the amount that you own, and it increased to include additional fees. And I politely responded and said, look, there is an ongoing dispute. I cancelled my membership. I've told Swallows this. I've yet to hear from Swallows, and I've yet to hear back from Membership and More. So a little bit frustrating.
She's urging them to improve their customer service. The Leisure Centre has been asked for a response.
Kent Online News.
A child has been left with head injuries following an alleged attack by a fellow pupil in Minster. It happened just after 3:30 on Monday afternoon on Minster Road. Video footage shows a fight between two girls outside Oasis Academy. Police have confirmed investigations are ongoing. A cyclist has been seriously injured following a collision with a lorry in Margate. Emergency crews were called to the junction of Addington Street and Addington Road in the early hours of Monday. The rider was treated at the scene before being airlifted to a London hospital where he remains in a serious condition. A woman has been left with head injuries after being attacked while out walking her dogs in Deal. The victim was shouted at by another woman in Wellington Parade last month before being pushed to the ground and kicked. Police want to speak to any witnesses. A man's been sentenced after sending threatening online messages to Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling and former Canterbury MP Rosie Duffield. Glenn Mullen uploaded audio clips which mentioned a hammer and a big gun. The 31-year-old from Clyde Road in Manchester has been given given two suspended sentences and a 12-month community order, which includes 150 hours of unpaid work. Police have made an arrest after launching an appeal for a Medway man who was wanted for being unlawfully at large from prison. Jacob Winnett from Hyacinth Road in Rochester was serving time for burglary. A search got underway in Sheppey yesterday. A Gillingham woman says she's lucky to have not been hit by a car that crashed into the side of a Londis. The dog walker was on the corner of Vicarage Road and Canterbury Road on Monday evening when the car drove into the store moments after she'd stepped off the curb. The driver and two passengers were taken to hospital as a precaution. An Ashford cat owner says she's disappointed in humanity after her pet was shot with an air gun. Two-year-old ragdoll Max was taken to the vet with an injured leg on Saturday. They found the air gun bullet under his fur. It's thought to have happened around the Somerset Road and Hardinge Road area. It has been reported to police.
Kent Online News.
A Herne Bay mother says her life was made a misery by her son, who was constantly demanding money for alcohol and drugs. Marianne Montague says her son would turn up at her house and threaten her if she refused to pay, leaving her fearful in her own home. 32-year-old Nicholas Montague has been placed on a two-year community order. He must do alcohol treatment and rehab and pay more than £300. A Maidstone mum's put in a complaint after waiting 12 hours to find out what happened to her daughter after surgery. 15-year-old Alice Tribe had an operation to remove a 10-centimetre cyst from her ovary in January. Our reporter Cara Simmons has been speaking to Alice Tribe and her mum, Jade Stibbles.
What's the surgery like? Do you remember anything?
I remember going into the surgery and then putting the needle in my hand. And that's all I remember. Then I remember waking up by myself and just looking around, didn't know where I was, what I was doing. And then they come and just took my bed, didn't really say nothing to me, and just took me back.
When you sort of found out, you know, what, because obviously you woke up, you didn't know what had happened, what was running through your head at the time when you woke up?
What have they actually done to me? Because I didn't know until they come in, like, the next afternoon.
The next morning.
And told us.
How long did it take until they came back and sort of eventually told you? What was the time?
8:15 the next morning.
Next morning. She came out, so it was about 12 hours.
12 hours later, yeah.
So you were there sitting wondering 12 hours what had actually happened.
Yeah.
And what was running through your head as a mum?
Was there anything sinister? Did she still have an ovary? Was it just a cyst they removed? All sorts of things go running through your head. Even when Alice is asking me questions and me not being able to tell her, that was really hard because I didn't know either. So yeah. The shock the next morning for both of us as to what had happened, and they told us quite rushed as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. I was still on, like, all of the drugs and stuff, so I was very out of it.
When they told you that it had been removed, I mean, what was going through both your heads with that, to have, you know, your actual ovary gone is quite a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, because obviously I knew the chances of her having children was going to be a lot slimmer. So it's a 50-50. So then when Alice was asking me them kind of questions, that was actually quite hard to explain to her.
I know you're only 15 and you probably... Children is probably the last thing in your mind at the moment. You're doing your GCSEs, mock GCSEs, aren't you? But thinking about kids when you're older, do you know, it probably is quite upsetting, isn't it, to not have, when you get to that stage, knowing that you won't maybe have that chance, possibly.
Yeah. It's still sort of processing through my head. It's not fully, like, sunk in yet.
So when did you find out about the cyst on the other ovary? Was that was during a scan, wasn't it? Another follow-up scan?
Yeah, that was on the 8th of March, yeah.
So then you found, was it a
20 millimetre fatty dermoid cyst, yeah. Which it now puts here, noted at surgery. So they had seen it in surgery, but just hadn't told us.
So you believe that they knew about it during the keyhole surgery, but because of the sort of miscommunication, lack of communication, they failed to tell you both about that, then?
Yeah.
Do you really think that?
Yeah. Well, you was completely shocked when we had the scan. And even we looked at each other, she was like, I've got another cyst. like her face, and for me to find that out as well, because obviously now that we know, now know that that's going to reduce the chances even more. So knowing that it was only going to be a 50-50 chance of her being able to conceive later on, now knowing that that's probably a lot less, and this dermoid cyst is going to grow, and now we've only been told that it's just going to be like a yearly check.
What was going through your head when you heard that you had another one, you know?
Well, I didn't really know what to do, because I was just sitting there, I was like, but how? And then she said that they normally come in pairs. There's normally two of them. But we didn't get told anything about the second cyst.
Her right ovary had been removed and another cyst was later discovered on the left one, which the families say they weren't told about. The NHS Trust say they're investigating the complaint. Around 200 staff at a factory near Maidstone could lose their jobs. People working at the Marley Plumbing and Drainage site in Lenham have been warned of redundancies. It's owned by the Belgian-based company Aliaxis, who say they're making changes as part of a new UK strategy. The mum of a Gravesend teenager who took his own life is urging whoever is in power next to improve support for young people. 15-year-old Tristan Taylor passed away in May last year, and the bench in his memory signposting where to get help has been unveiled in Higham. Gemma Cayley-Smith doesn't want any other parent to experience her grief.
I lost my son, Tristan, who was 15 last year to suicide. So we've just gone past his first anniversary, and in the first few weeks, Pete and Kerry, so Elliot's mum and Elliot's stepdad, reached out to us to just say, you know, you're not alone. We've been where you are. We can support. And we're here, you know. And I think that made the biggest difference. They came to Tristan's wake and they've become friends of ours ever since. And I think, you know, that nobody wants to be a part of the group that we are part of, but what they've done, obviously out of their loss of Elliot nearly 5 years ago, I think it's just inspiring, to say the least. And the biggest part is awareness. You know, it's knowing that there is a local charity that can help young people. Any event we can attend to support, raise awareness and raise money, we'll be there. We did a walk for Tristan on the 24th of September last year with friends around Higham, which is where Tristan's talking bench was placed a couple of weekends ago. And obviously this is a massive challenge for me, but I'll do anything I can to even if it's just helping to provide support for one young person. I think that's so important for us.
You mentioned the bench there. I've seen the pictures of it. It's absolutely beautiful. How much has that meant to you as well, that that's placed there and is a permanent memorial, but also a really important place for young people to be able to go and have a chat?
It's so important. I think it's finding purpose in what we've been through as a family. I think, you know, to even just to carry on, it is such a huge thing. But to then try and use your loss to raise awareness and help other people. We were just pitching to the parish council a memorial bench. And one of Tristan's friends' mum said, why don't we make it a talking bench? And I was like, oh my God, that's a fabulous idea. So yeah, the bench is, you cannot miss it. It's bright purple. It's the colour of papyrus. It's also the colour of Tristan's favourite colour. It tells you the harsh reality of who Tristan is and how young he was. It tells you that it happens to real people. Real people are affected by mental health. Real people take their own lives. But it then signposts people. It encourages people to talk to someone they trust or a professional about their mental health. It then signposts them that if they're in a place where they urgently need help, there's Samaritan's number. If they are a young person and they need help urgently, there's Papyrus's Hopeline number. And if they're a young person and they do need help going forwards, there's the self-referral link for the Elliot Holmes Memorial Fund. And I think I said in my speech on the day, if the bench saves one life, it's served its purpose.
We're obviously going through a time of change potentially at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 weeks' time, but whoever is in power, you've got such an incredibly strong story. What would you like them to take from your story? Because you've mentioned this lack of funding, the waiting list. What would you like to hear whoever's in charge in a few weeks' time for them to say, as one of their main pledges, I suppose, to the country and what they want to do?
There absolutely needs to be an addressing of support for mental health, particularly with young people. They're our next generation. They will be responsible for the country one day.
For anyone who I'm sure has been touched by your story and wants to get involved and wants to donate, what's the best thing for them to do?
So if they go to www.ehmf.org.uk, on the front page there is a big button where you can click on that and it will take you through to our GoFundMe page and you can sponsor us there.
Kent Online News.
One of the highest ranking officials at Kent County Council has left the authority 6 months after taking a leave of absence. Zena Cook, who was the corporate director of finance and earned £155,000 per year, announced her departure on Monday. Other councillors say there's been no explanation and there needs to be some questions asked about the wider circumstances. Figures seen by Kent Online show more than 80 children in part of Kent have missed out on a grammar school place despite passing the Kent test. The pupils from Gravesham, Dartford and Sevenoaks achieved a high enough grade in last September's exam, but were offered places at non-selective schools. Experts say grammars in the area can't keep up with demand due to more housing and a ban on building new selective schools. The council say they've added 15 forms across selective schools in the area since 2016. Residents have hit out at plans to build a solar farm to power a new 10,000 home town in Lym. The Courtet Street project will be linked to the Otterpool Park development. The proposals are still being explored by council bosses. Nearby villagers say there's no need for it and it would be a terrible loss of high quality farmland. It's emerged not a single fine has been issued by a council in Kent to drivers who leave their engines running in stationary traffic. The authority covering Canterbury warned motorists in 2022 they could get a penalty for idling outside schools or at level crossings. Mosses say issuing fines is always a last resort and that they would only be given to drivers who ignore a request to stop the engine.
Kent Online News.
Beacons will be lit across Kent this week to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. The landings in Normandy were a crucial turning point in World War II, which led to victory in Europe the following year. Villagers in Capel of Ferne will stage a torch-lit procession tomorrow to the nearby Battle of Britain Memorial. Malcolm Triggs is from the Trust.
As you know, we're based at Capel of Ferne on the clifftop, and we get on very well with the villagers there. A lot of villagers actually are volunteers, so we work very closely with them. They're organising a torch-lit procession to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and we are hosting the end of that procession at the site. We have a beacon that we light on such occasions, and they were walking down from the village hall, 9:15, we will light the beacon and mark this very important anniversary. And at the same time, the site, the memorial and all our attractions will be open in the evening as well.
That's going to be quite a spectacular thing, isn't it? The torchlit procession and then the beacon lighting. As you say, emotional, but also that's going to look pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I hope so. We did it for another event last year, and it is quite impressive. The villagers with their torches coming down. The site is very attractive. The site's lit up. We've got the buildings lit up. The memorial wall is lit. The memorial itself is lit. The aircraft as well. So it's all a very nice atmosphere. And of course, it's summer. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be doing, but it's kind of a nice dusky feel with lights everywhere and the torches. And then the beacon, which is preceded by a bugle call, just to add to the kind of atmosphere. And of course, it's a very important venue to mark D-Day, because, of course, without the Battle of Britain, D-Day wouldn't have happened in the form it did, of course, because if we'd been invaded, which is what the RAF prevented, then the South Coast wouldn't have been available to launch the Armada from to go and retake Europe, because we'd have been under the control of the Nazis. So there is a definite and a very close link between the Battle of Britain and what the RAF achieved at that time and D-Day 4 years later.
Why do you think it's so important that we remember these servicemen and women and what they did? Because for an awful lot of us, we can't remember and we wouldn't even try to imagine what they went through. Why is it so important on this 80th anniversary that we do remember them?
Well, I think despite what happens in the country and all the politics going on and the wrangling that happens, we are still a free country. We still enjoy our freedoms. And I think people know that that's all down to what's happened in the past. It's down to the bravery of servicemen, the people who fought, not just for this country, but for the freedom of Europe as a whole, and sacrificed so much back there, not just in the Battle of Britain, but the army, the navy, as well, and all our allies. I mean, it wasn't just Britain standing alone. It was all our allies, the Commonwealth, all our friends from the free Europeans that came over and fought with the allies. and gave so much, sacrificed so much. And I think certainly for those that were there, and that's, as you say, increasingly few of them, it's important. But for those of us who have any kind of sense of history and who care about the current freedoms we enjoy, it has to be a very important occasion, and we have to pay our respects, not just because of what they did, but in the hope that it won't happen again, that we can remember these things. You know, history teaches us to think very carefully about history and avoid making those mistakes. So I think it's very important to remember and to look forward and to make sure we never go down that path again.
Head to Kent Online for details on where other beacons will be lit.
Kent Online News.
Peter Andre is going to star in a new film by a Gravesend director. He'll play a crime boss in action movie Bullet, which is being made by Jeevan Singh. He shared a video clip on socials. You can watch it at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Peter Andre is going to star in a new film by a Gravesend director.
Why don't you just turn around? Pretend this hasn't happened. Yeah? Just give me what's mine and I'll leave.
He'll play a crime boss in action movie Bullet, which is being made by Jeevan Singh. He shared a video clip on socials. You can watch it at Kent Online. McDonald's is calling for residents in Dover to make their voices heard over plans for a new 24-hour restaurant. More than 270 people have objected to the proposed drive-through on the former site of the leisure centre close to the port. The fast food giant now wants to hear supporters have their say. The UK's first ever centre of excellence in how to grow produce for supermarkets in greenhouses is opening in Kent. Hadlow College in Tunbridge are joining forces with Thanet Earth, which already produces millions of cucumbers, tomatoes and peppers each year. It's hoped the project will train the next generation and help protect the industry in the UK. And there have been tributes for the former owner of a Kent seaside Italian ice cream parlour who's died at the age of 74. Ben Macari took over running Macari's in Herne Bay from his grandfather. He's been remembered as a mischievous and much-loved character in the town. He died in April after a short illness.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly to football, and England's women have kept their Euros qualification hopes alive thanks to a 2-1 win over France. Maidstone's Alessia Russo scored one of the goals in last night's match. The Lionesses are currently third in their group with two games left to play against Ireland and Sweden next month. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.